Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Alex Reamer Show.
All right. Welcome in to the Alex Reamer Show. My name is Alex Reamer. Yes, that's usually how it works. Taking you up until 6 at 617-779-7937. Mentioned in trending, a beautiful winter day out there. Sunny in the 40s. I ran outside today, so I'm glad you all know that. It's cold in the studio, though. I'm wearing my Trenny Kuznarek Memorial winter jacket in the studio. I mentioned that because Trenny would always wear a winter coat in the studio, and I like the look. It's good. It's a little cumbersome, but it's fine. I like it. We have lots to get into today. A little buffet, if you will. A little sports buffet we're going to throw at you today. But first of all, let me just say, it is, I think, an incredible profile and courage that I've made it into the studio this afternoon after the week that I had to endure on these airwaves, taking attacks from all sides, really. Has-beens, never was, I mean, all just viciously coming for me this week, starting with Jermaine Wiggins. Wiggy, I was on with him multiple times, kept saying, Reamer has a spot at night, 6 to 10 p.m. Wiggy thinks he's the number one man on the morning show. Don't think that's the case anymore, though, after listening to this week. But just say the Love Boat ride lasted a little longer than Wiggy's time at top of the Mutton Callahan depth chart. Let's just say that. That's my big takeaway from Wiggy, the wig man this week. And also, the Gen Royal, Pete Shepard yesterday. Unbelievable, the attacks that I had to endure, Bridget, to make it into the studio. Speaking of which, I did call into the show yesterday with Pete. Pete didn't have much of an interest in going back and forth with me, which is fine. I mean, that's fine. And Pete really, going at Pete Shepard for me these days is like punching down. So I don't do that. I only punch up. I don't punch down. But prior to my call, and this is my fault for missing this, totally my swing and a miss here, Pete was ripping me pretty harshly before my call, and where he, again, Turtle didn't say anything. And I will just say, and we'll play the sound later on, one member of the Mutton Callahan team raced to my defense. Another member of the Mutton Callahan show didn't say much of anything. Well, Pete Shepard was attacking me, attacking my place on the show, attacking my value on the show. One person stood up for Team Ream, and one person didn't. We'll discuss that as well. That's what we call a tease. But first, speaking of Mutton Callahan, they're down there in Fort Myers. They'll actually be on the air tomorrow morning, a fresh Sunday morning edition of MNC coming to you from JetBlue Park tomorrow. All the guys are down there, all the beat writers, all the players. The World Series defense is about to begin in earnest. And I guess the biggest storyline in Red Sox camp so far, and it's really the biggest storyline across all baseball camps, is the lack of free agent activity this offseason. The fact that you have Bryce Harper and Manny Machado still on the open market, these two 26-year-old studs in the primes of their careers, you could make the case two of the best free agents to ever hit the open market at this portion in their careers. Both unemployed on February 16th, so they're out of work along with Dallas Keuchel, Adam Jones. I mean, lots of good veteran players. Craig Kimbrel, of course, another big player on that list who remains unemployed after turning down the Red Sox qualifying offer in November. And the conventional wisdom is there's no way whatsoever that the Red Sox will bring Craig Kimbrel back. No, there's a lot of divergent views, of course, across all this stuff, all this Red Sox stuff. But there's the conventional wisdom that the Red Sox are so up against the third level of the luxury tax Signing Kimbrel would send them so far over the tax, not worth it. He's priced himself out of the Red Sox. And Jeff Passan has said it on these airwaves. Again, everybody, every host, everybody agrees. Craig Kimbrel not coming back to the Red Sox would be foolish. Just not even worth discussing, really. And Dave Dombrowski adds ammunition to that. He said this throughout the offseason. He was asked about Kimbrel again this week. And this
Dave,
is what he had to say.
Kind of a deadline on when you move on from Kimbrel or his point to other?
No, not really. You know, when I say that, though, I mean, I just, again, we're not going to be overly aggressive with big expenditures. I do not think for our relief closer at this point. I mean, our payroll is pretty high at this point. Without getting specific on him, we're not looking to, per se, make a big expenditure in that area. So read that as you may. There are some rules and regulations in that regard, and what you can say and what you can't say as far as free agent players are concerned.
So that's definitely how a normal human talks, right? We're not making a big expenditure in the area of for a relief closer. Okay, thank you, Dave. I mean, like, really? Who talks like that? And that's the word that he's used time and time again over the last several months when he's asked about Craig Kimbrel and the closer situation, like, hey, Dumbo, you're leaving that to Barnsey and Brazier, you know, two guys who have not thrown a lot of high-leverage innings in their careers. Any concern about that? Well, we're not going to have a big expenditure in the relief closer position. Okay, thank you. Like, it's just odd that that is Dombrowski's turn of phrase that he's gone to here. And look, I mean, financially, yeah, if you are concerned about the luxury tax, signing Craig Kimbrel makes no sense. Like, let's say he wants a deal worth $17 million. So it gets pretty complicated, but basically that would throw the Red Sox well past the $246 million threshold, which is the third tier of the luxury tax. So any money you spend after the $246 million third tier threshold, Red Sox are at about $240 right now, gets taxed 75%. So you get charged 75% on the dollar for every penny you spend past $246 million. So if the Red Sox are at 240 now and Kimbrel signs for 17, well, that takes them obviously well above the 246 million. So Jeff Passan in a column this week on ESPN.com breaks it down with the luxury tax in mind. 17 million a year for Kimbrel, when you add in the taxes, would cost the Red Sox about $27.75 million. So nearly $28 million for Craig Kimbrel. That is the true one-year cost when you break it all down. And of course, paying nearly $28 million a year for any relief pitcher, never mind Kimbrel, who did show some noticeable signs of slippage last year, would be foolish. And people go, oh, that takes him over the tax. See you later. If it was 17, yes, worth a conversation, but you add in the extra $11 million or so, nope, not even close.
Not going to be overly aggressive with big expenditure.
That'd be too overly aggressive with the big expenditure. Exactly, Dave. We're not doing that. So fine. So everyone's in agreement. It's going to be Barnes and it's going to be Brazier. Like, that's what it's going to be. And I say why. I am here to say why. Yeah, that's right. I am here to take a stand against the standard baseball Red Sox conventional wisdom of the spring and say why. Why do we just blindly accept that, oh yeah, Craig Kimbrel would be too big of an expenditure and take the Red Sox and poor John Henry too far over the third tier of the luxury tax? I mean, that's just such a weird thing for fans to be concerned about. Like, why do you, John Henry is worth $2.7 billion. And the Red Sox are worth lots and lots of money as well. The Globe, maybe not so much anymore, but the Red Sox, certainly very, very valuable entity, one of the most valuable franchises in Major League Baseball. I mentioned Henry's worth nearly $3 billion himself. The guy could afford an $11 million tax if it means bringing back Craig Kimbrel. And as a Red Sox fan, why wouldn't you want Henry to do that? Why do you just blindly accept, like, oh, that would be up to the third tier of the luxury tax. Oh, see you later. And I get it. The Red Sox spend lots of money. Again, they're up at 240 this year. Will be the second year in a row they blow past the other two levels of the luxury tax. They've always spent money with John Henry in charge of this team. So this is not a Red Sox ownership is cheap kind of thing. Do not misconstrue my words. John Henry always spends to win it. And frankly, I think that's the reason why he should be more beloved around these parts than he is. I mean, the guy, in terms of a sports owner, has done everything you would want a sports team owner to do. He has spent money on the product. He wants
money,
to-
money, money, money.
There you go, LJ. Nice. That's pretty good. Pretty good. No hiccups in that sound either. That's good. Good, LJ. LJ definitely has a better voice than I do. I have, as we learned, the Christmas carols, Bridget, was just terrible last
Isn't
year.
He a singer?
Is LJ a singer? I know he's a painter.
Yeah, I think he sings too.
Oh, with that voice, he should. LJ's a very talented guy. Do you have any of his paintings?
I haven't seen his paintings.
My dad bought one of his paintings of a gazebo in Martha's Vineyard. Gorgeous. Gorgeous painting. Yeah, check it out. LJ cartoons and in the regular stuff.
Yeah,
it's all good. He's a very, very talented man, which I am not. But I am telling you right now that, again, John Henry, no issues with how he's allocated money. He's spent more than enough to win. And I also get that everybody has a budget, right? So you plug in 240 some odd million for Red Sox payroll, and that's it. And everybody has a budget. I understand that. But would $11 million extra really break John Henry in half? I mean, we seem to be in agreement that Kimbrel for 1 year, $17 million would be fine. It's, oh, the additional luxury tax penalty you would have to pay. But is a $10, $11 million luxury tax penalty, is that really going to break John Henry? I mean, what if that's the difference between a World Series run or an early playoff exit? Because as bad as Kimbrel looked in the first two rounds of the playoffs last year, he did have a great World Series. On the whole, he was very good in the regular season. And I don't think anybody feels confident about Matt Barnes or Ryan Brazier closing games for the Red Sox this year. I mean, those are two guys, as I mentioned, who pitched well in the playoffs last season, but that's a very small sample size. And historically, Barnes has not pitched well in high leverage spots. We don't really know what Brazier can do on a consistent basis in those kind of situations. So count me in on Kimbrel. I would feel better about this bullpen with Craig Kimbrel there. And I just don't know why we accept, like, okay, the luxury tax threshold too high, that's where you bail. It's, why not? Why not go for it again? Because this is a unique situation the Red Sox are in. We talk a lot about windows. It's one of the great sports cliches. Windows, windows, windows. The championship window. Well, the Red Sox are in the midst of their championship window, and it may not extend past this year, because what happens next year? Chris Sale is a free agent. JD Martinez can opt out. Rick Porcello is a free agent. Xander Bogaerts is a free agent. So next year at this time, there's a good chance that this Red Sox team looks very different, and there's a good chance that this Red Sox team is worse, significantly worse on paper than this one this year. You know, Sale, Martinez, Porcello, Bogaerts. You are not keeping all four of those guys. At most, you're keeping two of the four. So you subtract two of those four from this team right now, it is significantly worse. The Yankees, as we know, are only going to get better. So this is it for the Red Sox. This is the end of this championship window. And I know they won last year, but David Price said it. He didn't come here just to win one championship. He came here to win multiple championships. And having Craig Kimbrel on the team gives the Red Sox a better chance to win those multiple championships in this stretch than him sitting on the sidelines. And it's just a weird phenomenon that sports fans, and this isn't just specific to the Kimbrel Red Sox situation, but sports fans seem to accept that as an okay explanation as to why your team is, your ownership group is not putting the best team out there. Like, we're all in agreement that the Kimbrel market is non-existent at the price he wanted. Another year with the Red Sox at $18 million or so. Come on, give us one more run. You'll probably be pitching deep into the playoffs once again. You can't buy that kind of exposure. Joe Kelly has told us how much a good postseason can get you paid. Look at Nathan Eovaldi. Those are just two of the most recent examples, obviously, but there's a huge history of that. So Kimbrel would have another opportunity for a World Series run. It just, there's no debate. Having Craig Kimbrel closing games for this team, it makes the Red Sox much better. And so why not do it? The $11 million tax, is that really going to stop you if you're John Henry? And wouldn't you make a lot of that up in revenue if you make the World Series, do damaged sweatshirts? You could have more of those sweatshirt sales. I mean, come on. This is a no-brainer. You make tons and tons of additional revenue with deep playoff runs, World Series wins. So I'm not going to sit here and cry poverty for John Henry, net worth $2.7 billion, and say, yep, he's spent $240 million on the team. That's great. Everyone has a budget. Tough case closed. Like, no. You've already gone this far. Go all the way.
Especially, well, I'm running out of money.
You've gone, go all the way. You're 96% of the way there. Go all the way. Especially because, again, I think this is it. This is the last window, the last championship window year for this group of the Boston Red Sox. And then after that, you have a weak farm system, which is what happens when you trade for Chris Sale and trade for Craig Kimbrell and make all these deadline acquisitions. That's what happens. You have a weak farm system. It was weakened to make this run. You finally got over the hump last year with this group. Do it again. You're better with Kimbrell than without Kimbrell. And you're so close. Pedal to the metal. Full gas. Go all the way. 617-779-7937. I'm going to do something totally wild and take a call here in the first segment. Dan is in the car. Dan, what's going on?
All right, Alex. First off, you're wrong about the window closing. They're going to keep Sale, JD, and Bogaerts, and Betts. Porcello can take a hike. He's replaceable.
What's their peril going to be, like $300 million?
What's that?
What's their peril going to be, $300 million?
No, check the math. Check Red Sox Stats Twitter account. It's all there. It's all easy. It's going to be easy for them to keep all those guys.
Who's going?
Porcello's gone.
So that's
Kimbrell,
one guy.
I'd like to keep Kimbrell for one more year. I don't want him for 5 years. They drafted Feltman. Feltman's going to be a stud. There are other relievers that you can get. I don't want them to sign Kimbrell for 5 years.
No, I don't either. But what if you gave Kimbrell like 1 year, $20 million?
You, among many other people in the media, spent all last season second-guessing Kimbrell.
Right.
Now you want them to sign him to a five-year, $100 million
contract. Dan, I never said 5 years. What if Kimbrell would accept like 1 year, $20 million? Just a crazy one-year deal.
They offered him the qualifying offer, and he turned it down. He doesn't want a one-year deal.
But that was at the start of the offseason before his market dried up.
Alex, he does not want a one-year deal. That's a fact.
In November, he didn't. Maybe he does at the end of February. For again, for crazy money. For money on a one-year deal that he wouldn't get on a multiple-year deal. Like, no one would pay him $18 million for 4 years, but 18 for one, that could be a good opportunity for him to cash in and then reset his market.
If he signs for 1 year elsewhere, I will call back and say that I am disappointed that they didn't sign him for the 1 year. I don't believe that he's going to sign for 1 year.
Okay. Well, it's worth offering, though. I mean, Dombrowski doesn't even act like it's a possibility.
Here's the other thing. I take what they say at face value at all times. So you believe half of what you hear and a quarter of what you read. You don't know what's going on, what other plans they have. I'm not worried about it. I want them to go commit to a winner. I'm not saying let's not do anything because you won last year. But I'm not worried about it. And I'll tell you why. The biggest reason I'm not worried. Everyone that was worried about this team last year was completely wrong. And now you're all worried again, and it's only March.
We got to have stuff to talk about. Well, Dan, we got to have stuff to talk about. What do you want me to talk about?
All right, I'll give you that.
All right, Dan. Thanks, man. Dombrowski acts like it's not even an option talking to Kimbrell. Oh, can't even pick up the phone and call him or text him. Like, that'd be too crazy. What are you, nuts? No big expenditures with the relief closer. And I'm like, why? Why not put that on the table? And I also, you know, Dan obviously knows his stuff. I love the Red Sox Stats Twitter account, but and I scored very poorly on my math SATs, so, I mean, take this for what it's worth, but Mookie Betts, I mean, let's say Bogaerts wants a deal about $145 million in that range, right? $145, $150. Betts will be looking for something at least $250 million. You know, I think prior to this offseason, thought $300 million. Now maybe he's decreases expectations a little bit, but that is already, let's lowball it. Let's say Bogaerts is $145 and let's say Betts is $250. That is well north of, I mean, that's almost $300 million right there. So it's in these two, over $300 million, I'm sorry, well over $300 million in those two guys. And then he says we're going to re-sign Chris Sale and JD Martinez as well. It just doesn't make sense to me. I think you have to keep two of those four guys. You're not keeping three of the four. You're certainly not keeping four of the four. And the team is going to be worse. The team is going to be worse in 2020, 2021 than it is right now, which is why I want them to go all in. 617-779-7937 is your phone call. Is your phone number, rather. So that's all on the table. Also, Chris Sale, David Price spoke to the media this week. Price is still a dink, huh? Man, oh man. And he can enjoy this high ride he's on now, because I think it's going to be a tough year for David Price. Pedroia spoke as well. And also Dan Shaughnessy in a column that just came out prior to us hitting the air. in the Boston Globe. One of the topics that I hold near and dear to my heart. Could a White House visit divide the Red Sox? Team brass says no. Shaughnessy has some interesting numbers in there about the players who have committed to going to the White House and the players who have not. It's pretty easy to detect a pattern. We'll do all that next. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Alex Reamer Show.
Holding the Trump card.
Plus Jokers. Plus the Jokers.
Who are the Jokers?
There's 52 cards in a deck of cards and two Jokers in that deck. Never mind. I hope some people will get that.
How does that change things for you?
It doesn't. I'm still playing baseball. Father, husband, son, friend, teammate. It doesn't change.
Okay, David Price. It's amazing, and this should speak for itself, but now we are actually seeing it applied in real time. It just is amazing how much playoff performance matters, because if David Price said that stuff last year in spring training and he did not have all these postseason triumphs under his belt, clinching World Series win, all that good stuff, if David Price didn't have that, he would have been eviscerated all week long. But he says that. He's a total dink to the press, like he's always been. And no one really cares, because he got it done when it mattered most last season. Price was also asked this week about his decision to opt in to his contract with the Red Sox in the 4 years, $127 million remaining. He says, have you seen this free agent market? No, the decision wasn't very difficult. Which, you admire the candor. But you also say, like, really? Is it that hard to just put on a grin and say, I love playing for the Red Sox, I would never consider playing anywhere else? I mean, do you really have to say, have you seen the free agent market? No, wasn't difficult. Like, okay, so I'm only here because I knew I couldn't get paid more money elsewhere. Which, we always criticize athletes for not being honest, and that's David Price being honest, I suppose. So it's hypocritical for me to condemn him for that, and that's probably like guys like Price have no use for the media and talk radio in particular, but that's okay. That's what we do here. And David Price, though, David Price better enjoy the cloud nine that he's currently on, because I got news for him and I got news for you folks. This is not going to last. History tells us this is not going to last. This is not me being a crazy contrarian. It's just me looking at the history of pitcher performances as they reach their mid-30s with all this mileage, and they're just not what they were. Price is 33 now, has a bad elbow. You go back a couple years ago, David Price said, this is a quote, if I were younger, I would have had surgery. But he opted to rehab it, not have elbow surgery, so he still has a bad elbow. He can say he has a magical elbow and all that silliness. We know that's not true. He has a bad elbow, and he's 33 years old, going on 34. So that tells you right there, he's definitely in danger of breaking down. And you also just look at the workload he had last postseason. Just go at the World Series. He throws 6 innings in game 2, comes back 2 days later to throw 2/3 of an inning out of the bullpen in game 3. And then he comes back 2 days later for game 5 and throws 7 innings. And those performances won the Red Sox a World Series. Price should have been World Series MVP. But, yikes. Those are a lot. That's a lot of heavy lifting in a very short period of time. You go back to the ALCS, same thing. Price had a bullpen appearance in that series as well. So guys like David Price, mid-30s, bad elbow, already missed some starts during the year due to injury. And then he's out there in the playoffs.
Relatively injury-free my entire life.
Well, not quite the case here. Throwing every other day in the World Series. Pitching on short rest. It's a heavy workload. That's a heavy workload. I think it will catch up to him this year. And Chris Sale, too. Chris Sale, shoulder, from July 27th through September 26th last year, only threw 17 innings. We forget that. And in the playoffs, that indelible image, Chris Sale striking out Manny Machado with the breaking ball, Machado on one knee just flailing so hopelessly. We all remember that from Chris Sale's playoff run. But if you think a little further back, this postseason, he was a five-inning pitcher. 5 1/3 innings against the Yankees in Game 1 of the ALDS, then 4 innings against Houston, 4 innings in his third start, World Series, pitched out of the bullpen twice. So Sale, heavy workload, and a guy who clearly did not have the stamina in the playoffs that he's had in the season. And I talk about his contract being up in 2019. Well, the Red Sox are going to have a dilemma on their hands, come the All-Star break. Let's say Sale, who you heard it this week, is on with Mutt and Callahan and every meets with the reporters. He says everything you would possibly want a professional athlete to say. So let's say he has a great first half of the year. There's going to be that contingency, or that contingent rather, of Red Sox fans who will want the team to re-sign Chris Sale, get an extension done right then and there. He wants to be here. He's the anti-David Price. He'll tell you everything you want to hear. He's the utmost competitor, great pitcher, one of the greatest pitchers of his generation. Get it done. Let's see if you can take advantage of this depressed free agent market and get it done. Get Chris Sale done. I can already hear it now. I can hear your phone calls now. Get it done. But no, that would be a bad decision for the Red Sox, because keep in mind of how Sale performs in the second half of the season. First half, his career record is 69-26, 2.66 ERA. Second half, 34-36, 3.20 ERA. He's a completely different pitcher historically in the second half of the season. We saw that again last year when he only threw 17 innings from the end of July through the end of September. And also, Sale, with his frame, the way he throws the ball, entering his 30s, no thanks. I'm out on a long-term investment on Chris Sale. And before you call up and go, wait a minute, you're just saying that you don't care about money. Now you're saying the Red Sox don't invest in Sale, because I think if you overpay Craig Kimbrell on a one-year deal, 1 year with an option, that's not going to hinder you long-term. If you sign Chris Sale to a 5, 6, 7 year deal, $200-some-odd million, yes, that will hinder you long term. So that's a difference there between Sale and Kimbrel. But just again, this lends further credence to the point that this is it for the Red Sox in terms of this group. Because if Price does make it through this season, that's another full year on his arm, another 180 plus innings on that bad elbow, on that bad left arm. Chris Sale makes it through. If he comes back, you're playing with fire in terms of his health, probably. And again, that's not me being dour or negative about Chris Sale. That's me just being realistic and looking at the landscape throughout baseball. And also, he may be gone. I think he should be gone at the end of 2019, too, because I think it would be a bad long-term investment for the Red Sox. So you just look at Price and Sale and their seasons and what's ahead of them. It's just another reminder of how, as great as last year was, no guarantee it continues even past this year. And that's why re-signing Nathan Eovaldi this offseason was such an important move for the team. Yeah, it was a four-year overpayment. What was it, $468? Like, yeah, a bit of an overpayment. Definitely paying him due to his postseason performance. But you need the arms. You need more arms, because there is no guarantee that Sale and Price make it through this year. And again, Sale didn't make it through last year. Come on, man. Someone calls and defends me against the vicious attacks I've been subjected to all week, from Wiggy to Jen Royal to Jerry Thornton, Pete Shepard. I mean, former afternoon hosts, they're all banding together to get after me. And then you call up and say, I've been viciously attacked. I agree, Jay. Profile and courage that I'm here today. And then he swears and we have to drop him. That's too bad, Bridget. Anyway, while we're in Never Never Land with the delay, let's play Dustin Pedroia, because Pedroia spoke this week as well. Talk about Sale and Price, how they may miss significant time this year. Pedroia, of course, has missed a lot of significant time recently, only played 3 games last year. And we've spent so much time the last few months talking about Rob Gronkowski and whether Gronk is going to retire, and everybody cites the 9 surgeries he's had since 2009 and the physical wear and tear he's gone through. Pedroia, I mean, looking up the amount of surgeries he's had and his health problems in recent years, really the baseball equivalent of Rob Gronkowski. But Pedroia is looking to get back this year. This was another big takeaway this week. Here is him meeting with the press about his knee surgery and prolonged recovery.
So I get my knee 100%?
Yeah.
It ain't even my knee, man. Somebody else's, bro.
Do you know who this is?
Huh?
Do you know who this is?
My right knee's 100%.
Do you know whose knee it is?
No, I don't. They wouldn't tell me.
Did you get his knee back?
So that's Pedroia joking about his knee. One of the surgeries he's had. They put another person's knee in his. So some cartilage. So that's so that was Pedroia joking about that. But the other big thing that he said this week is that he said if he had to do it again, he would not have opted to have surgery on his left knee in 2017, which of course kept him out for really all of this year. He only appeared in 3 games. And you just look at Pedroia's history. He's undergone at least 7 surgeries since 2007. I mentioned the most recent one on his left knee in 2017, then again left knee in 2016, left wrist 2014, left thumb 2013, left foot 2011 and 2010, and left wrist 2007, his rookie season. So that is a Gronk-like surgery resume for Dustin Pedroia. I mentioned only he plays 3 games this year before going back on the DL with left knee inflammation. And he's telling the reporters this week down in Fort Myers that if he had to do it again, he would not have had that surgery on his knee in 2017. So, you know, can Pedroia play 125 games? Can be a regular president at second base? I say no. No, I don't think so. It's just his body seems like it's given up. And he's the baseball version of Rob Gronkowski, but actually more severe, because Gronk has been able to get up and play all of 2017, most of this year. We know about his playoff performance this year. I mean, Pedroia has not been a solid performer since 2016. Since 2016. We have that cut, Bridget, of a Pedroia addressing his knee surgery. Here it is.
No, I wouldn't have done it. I mean, I don't regret doing it, but I mean, looking back and knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have done it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, what was sort of your other options other than what you had? Just to manage it?
Or? Yeah, change, like rehab styles, treatment styles, things like that. You know, it's a complicated surgery. I mean, you know, the cartilage in my knee is great now, but the graft is the thing. You're putting somebody else's bone in your body, you know, to get that to incorporate fully.
Does not sound like a guy who's very confident. I mean, exact quotes. No, I wouldn't have done it. I don't regret doing it, but looking back and knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have done it. You know what I mean? Yeah, you sound like a guy who's not confident in his ability to play regularly anymore. Only played more than 140 games once since 2014. That was 2016, as I mentioned, the last time he was an everyday player here. I mean, 2 years now. He's been hurt. He's been out of the lineup this year. Again, only 3 games. And the Red Sox won with some combination of Brock Holt and Ian Kinsler at second base. I mean, Pedroia was really, they did not need him next year, last year. And, you know, I don't know how much they need him this year, quite frankly. Holt is not great, but Pedroia at this stage in his career, what's he going to give you? Right? And 3 years, $40 million left on his deal. You talk about bad contracts. When Pedroia originally signed that 8-year, I think it was 8-year, $110 million in that range, we compared it to Cano's free agent contract around the same time. We go, oh my God, what a steal this is. No. Turned out to be a bad deal. The little body, El Caballo, the little pony, just gave up. And certainly not a confidence-inducing session with the press this week. Let's go to John in Andover. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, bud?
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to, as far as Kimbrel goes, I think there's a short memory with him about the World Series. They got through the World Series despite Kimbrel. The guy was, like, just short of being a gas can in at least 2 of those games. I don't have the stats in front.
Not the World Series. He was in the ALDS, certainly, in the CS. But the World Series, he was good, John.
He was. So, all right. So, you have to ask yourself, are we willing to go ahead and hitch our you know,
four and a third. Sorry, four and a third scoreless innings in the World Series. He was excellent.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, he was like Marcus Smart shooting threes when he came in the game. It was really dicey, and I think Dombrowski's doing the right thing, waiting to go ahead and figure out if there is a 1 year deal available.
Yeah, but then why does Dombrowski act like it's such a far fetched question when it's even brought up?
Because it's part of making a business deal. I mean, he doesn't want Kimbrel to understand what his position is, so he's just saying that, and that goes on all over sports.
Yeah,
I want to say two things about one thing about the Red Sox going down to D.C. I think there's a natural inclination to go ahead and look down the roster and say the people that are going and not going and try to divide it by lines of race. But if you think that Boston fans are okay with that, we're not. And it goes all the way back to Tim Thomas.
Oh, no. Talk ill of Trump. They break your phone. The deep state's watching, John. Be careful. I think that was actually defense of the White House visit. John says we're trying to divide it by racial lines. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just reading the list of players who are going and not going and seeing a clear pattern. We'll get to that. But on Kimbrel again real quick, I misspoke. He allowed two runs in four and a third World Series innings. But overall, you're right. He was bad in the ALDS. His ERA was 11.57 in two appearances against the Yankees. Houston, 4.5, so a bad CS for Kimbrel as well. But World Series, he was better. And I would just ask the question, who you feel better about closing games this year, Craig Kimbrel or Matt Barnes? It's Kimbrel. It's not even a question. 617-779-7937. So, caller mentioned the White House. Shaughnessy, stirring the pot down there. Dan Shaughnessy, could a White House visit divide the Red Sox? Team Brass says no. I say yes. What a shock. We'll read that next and get your reaction on the Mutt and Callahan drama from this week as well. All that and more. Reamer Sports Radio, WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's the Alex Reamer Show.
You and your little mouth. So your little stupid comments, I find to be extraordinarily ignorant. You don't know what it's like, Alex. You have no idea. Shut your mouth, you ignorant little pissant. You're so shut up. I have bigger balls, guts, determination, drive, creativity, talent than you will ever have. Ignorant again, little pissant.
Okay, so that was Jen Royal calling in to Mutt and Callahan this week. Very nice, Jen. Thank you. Yes, very kind of you. Very kind. I've had so many people this week say, like, what are you doing, Alex? Like, why? Why are you doing this? I'm out in the North End the other night, and I tweet out, so great to enjoy a glass of wine with my meal in the North End. And people kind of like, Alex, what is wrong with you? Like, what are you doing? This woman might kill you and your family, and you're gleefully tweeting. I mean, come on, man. So that was Jen Royal. It was the week of taking swings at this 120-pound pinata. That's what this was. All the masses of humanity that make their way through the studio from Glenn Ordway to, you know, well, Dale now has the weight loss program, but Glenn has enough mass, I guess, to make up for multiple people. But really, the amount of people come in here, and yet me, little poor me, 120-pound me, I'm the one who all the vitriol comes to. What did I ever do? I mean, what did I ever do to anybody besides just come here, put my head down, and try to make a living like everybody else? That's what I have to say, Bridget. But yesterday, we had Pete the Meat Shepherd made his highly anticipated return to the WEEI airwaves. He, of course, is a big star down in Southwest Florida, hosting Sports Talk out there with Sheeman on the ESPN Fort Myers affiliate. He was on with Mutt and Jerry for a couple of hours Friday. But of course, running real estate in all these losers' heads, Pete and the guys couldn't go too long without talking about me. And Pete the Meat, and this bad call by me, because I called up into the show a few minutes after this, and I didn't hear this part of it. If I did, I would have been a little more awake than I was, but here was Pete just tearing in on me. And I'd like the listeners to notice, by the way, before you hear the sound, notice which member of the Mutt and Callahan family rallies to my defense, and which member stays silent. Here you go.
Every time he is on your show, I feel like people click it off. That's just from down here, looking at social media and the times that I've heard him in that little spat he had with Jen.
But you know not to judge social media. You were mocking
social
media before.
Pete's a noted homophobe. He does not like gay people.
This is incredible.
It's a well-known fact.
You put a poll question up on Tim Tebow, and people responded in like idiotic responses. That's social media.
He's like, I understand that.
He's like our Colin Kaepernick. You know, he's kind of dumb. He hates America, but, you know, he gets a reaction.
I think Colin Kaepernick hates America.
Oh, of course he does.
No, he doesn't.
He thinks Cuba's better. Cuba is.
I know that, and I agree. He's got.
Okay, so that's Pete easily taking the first right turn out of the conversation about me. Someone mentioned Kaepernick. Let me now talk Colin Kaepernick, and that's what they were talking about when I was calling in. So again, if I heard that, I would have been a little more feisty than I was. But there's more coming up, which we'll get to in a second. But just notice, too, Jerry, you know, Pete touched the social media reaction. Mutt rallies to my defense. Oh, social media, Pete. You know you can't judge anything off that. And Jerry, you know, just, oh, fine. Let's just let Pete throw that dag right in there. So interesting, nonetheless, is all I have to say. In the meantime, let's grab Billy in Manchester. Billy, what's going on? Uh-oh. Is he on and I can't hear him, or is he not on? Oh, Billy.
Are you there?
I'm here. Yes. How are you?
I had such a good opening. You know, it got ruined. You know, typical.
Typical. Well, what'd you expect?
Somewhere out there right now in the North End, a young couple is getting ready to go out to dinner. They want to have a nice romantic dinner, the couple, the two of them. Nice glass of wine. They go into Table Boston, and what do? No alcohol, and they got to sit with total strangers. So I defend you. I disagree with you a lot. You know this.
I know.
I defended you on this Jen Royal. She's a lunatic. She's crazy, and she's this. It's just you're 100% right about this. This restaurant design.
But why do I do this to myself, Billy? I've had a moment of self-reflection the last day or so. Like, why?
I liked it. She blocked me on Twitter myself because I rejected her whole thing with her restaurant. I think it was a crazy idea for this. And I got blocked. It's the block, as they say. But and listen, the Wigan thing, put that aside for a second. The Shepherd thing yesterday, you're two and one this week. I think Wigan beat you, but I think the Jen Royal and the other one, forget it. Not even close.
How did Wiggy beat me? When did he beat me?
I don't know. I think you should be on nights and Wiggy should be on the morning.
Billy, that's disappointing to me, though, Billy, because you're a longtime Kirk and Callahan listener, which is why I respect you. I mean, you come after me, but I respect you, and I think some of your criticism is very valid. But do you think Wiggy would have lasted 1 second on that show and how it was run?
No.
So I think
it's good. I actually think as much as I disagree with you, the Jen Royal thing, you totally turned me a 180. Now I'm pro Alex.
Wow, we turned Billy and
I was going to, and Tomasi too. I've done a 180 on Tomasi myself. But anyways, I totally agree. Like I said, your tweet was great.
I
love you. See ya.
I thanks, Billy. Love you too. There you go. We all bond over being total bleep heads on Twitter. That's how we bond. My thing with Wiggy is, I mean, Wiggy's fine. Nice guy. But, I mean, I think this week, pretty clear. Pretty clear that I think his time, his short stint at the top of the depth chart came to an end. Do we have more Pete here? Okay, here's Pete ripping me again.
I saw his little tweet about the glass of wine. He's so edgy. He's so edgy that way. He says it's a nice Merlot. Surprised you didn't go all Hannibal Lecter with the fava beans and a fine Chianti. How about that original thought, Alex?
You don't like Alex on the show?
Does anybody?
I think there's
I'm being serious. You're going to tell me he adds to your show? You think he adds listeners to your show?
He fights. He does.
I think you fight.
Jerry's his biggest fan.
You can try the corporate route. I think you guys are full of crap if you think he's adding anything to your show.
Well, I wouldn't say the corporate route. We want him on.
Why?
Because you know how it works.
I don't know how it works. I'm telling you right now, I trust my instincts in this business of 31 years. You know what happened before, and I'm telling you, you keep having that guy on, you guys are going to be in trouble. That's all.
I mean, so let's review from the top. Three questions asked of the room. Why is Reamer on your show? Jerry, hello. Why am I on your show? Why do you think Alex is good for your show? Jerry, hello. Jerry Callahan, are you alive? Are you alive? Are you breathing? Where were you, Jer? Oh, Jerry, that hurt. You know, Bridget, I'm not hurt. I'm just disappointed, I guess.
I did hear a laugh in the background, but that was about it from Jerry.
Nothing, Jer. Play that again. Let's go through the questions that are left unanswered. And notice who does step up to my defense, by the way.
I saw his little tweet about the glass of wine. He's so edgy. How about that original thought, Alex?
You don't like Alex on the show?
Does anybody?
I think I'm being serious.
You're going to tell me father, he adds
his
to
father
your,
does.
He adds to your show. You think he adds listeners to your show?
He fights. He does.
I think you fight.
Jerry's his biggest fan.
You can try the corporate route. I think you guys are full of crap if you think he's adding anything to your show.
We want him on.
Why?
Because you know how it works.
Okay, so there you go. Does anybody like him on the show? Jerry, it's where you say me. I love Reamer on the show. Mutt came to my defense. Does he add listeners to your show? I'm not privy to the day-to-day ratings breakdown, but let me guarantee the listeners this. If Kirk and Callahan or Mutt and Callahan ratings tanked when I was on, I would never be. They are dying for that to be the case, and it's not because I'm still on. So... Believe me, listener. I would not be given second chances here. And why do you want him, Jerry? Because you love me. That's why.
Curtis jumped in. Yeah, Jerry, you love Alex.
Curtis jumped in. Again, it's not a war. I just a little disappointed. Mutt, my attack dog, rallies to my defense. I will never give Mutt crap ever again. When the chips were down, Mike Mutnansky raced to Team Ream's defense. Jerry, captain of Team Ream, 2 years strong now, close to getting the captainship revoked for that total no-show. Total no-show. Where were you, Jer? Where could have used you against Pete's vicious attacks? I mean, Pete's whatever.
How about that original thought, Alex?
As I said, that's like me punching down. And Pete, we're not talking with Pete. But Jer, where were you? Being unjustly upset over this. And what did you think of the week? Basically, call and compliment me. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. I promise we'll also, this is for Jerry, we'll get to Kyrie Irving. Get to Kyrie Irving next hour, Jerry. No, but also Anthony Davis did say the Celtics are back on his list, which is just further proof that all the day-to-day NBA melodrama is like, it's entertaining to follow for our purposes because it gives us stuff to talk about and stuff to write about, blog about, tweet about. But really, it doesn't matter. I mean, the day-to-day, back and forth. Anthony Davis says, oh, yes, he would like to come to the Celtics after all and would be open to signing an extension here. Oh, shocking. Amazing. I thought he would never, ever sign here. Well, I guess that changed pretty quickly. 617-779-7937. All that and more coming up. Reamer here on EEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.